got Sally Crandall coming up here next. Sally, she's going to tickle your funny bone, and she's going to stretch your imagination. She spent, maybe 2 or 3 years teaching and working as a librarian, long enough that they put a plaque on the wall of the school where she was. And her story today is adventure and romance. One thing about her, as far as adventure is concerned, she went to the Peace Corps, 2 years ago? She knows about adventure. Come on up, Sally Crandall.
Well, it was actually 5 years ago that my husband Nelson and I signed up to join the Peace Corps. We met with a lady who was at Ohio State University with the Peace Corps office, and she came down to Caribou Coffee to interview Nelson and I. Mr. Crandall, why do you want to join the Peace Corps? Well, my husband Nelson, he said, I want to join the Peace Corps because I want to be with Sally. Mr. Crandall, that's not a good enough reason to join the Peace Corps. Oh, it wasn't. And he took 1 or 2 minutes while we waited for him to think of a really good reason. And he thought of it. I didn't serve in Vietnam, and so I want to serve my country in a way that I believe in. The lady wrote that down. Mrs. Crandall, why do you want to join the Peace Corps? Well, I had an answer that was all prepared, one I knew she was gonna really like, but it wasn't the real reason that I wanted to join the Peace Corps. The real reason, the one I only told to Nelson, was adventure and romance. That was what was at the bottom of my heart. When our application got accepted, Nelson and I told Washington that we didn't wish to be teachers. We didn't wish to go to Africa. And we didn't want to be teachers because we'd both been teachers already and we wanted to do something different. And we didn't want to go to Africa because, it seemed so far, so big, so foreign, so hot. And, they listened, and so then Nelson and I began to wait and wait, and we waited until our application almost expired. Within 1 or 2 days, we got a telephone call. It was from the Peace Corps. Nelson answered, "Mr. Crandall, you're going to need to expand your parameters if you wish to join the Peace Corps." Oh, okay, we'll go anywhere, we'll do anything. So it was like 1 or 2 weeks after that, we both got big packets in the mail, and we opened them up together, and in those packets were our assignments. We were gonna go to Rwanda, Central Africa, and we were both gonna be teachers. I was gonna teach middle school English, and Nelson was gonna teach middle school math. Well, after we got that assignment, I told some of our friends, I told everyone where we were going, what we'd be doing, and some of them said, you have courage. I knew what they meant. Courage to leave our home, leave our country, leave our family, leave our language, leave our food, leave the kind of clothes we knew. All of that, I knew what they meant, but for me, fueling it all was that feeling for adventure and romance. And when we got to Rwanda, our training center was in Nyanza, about an hour outside of Kigali, the capital. We spent 12 hours of every day, Monday through Friday, and 6 hours on Saturday, learning how to be Peace Corps volunteers. We learned that language. And I will teach you a word, marajo. Try it, marajo. That means hello only in the morning, but it means hello. So, and if you say that to anyone walking to the market with their beautiful Ejitenchi cloths and heads on and everything, they'll say it right back. And then I learned that that language got progressively harder. It had 18, 20-letter words, and they fit in the boy parts, the girl parts, the direct objects, the indirect objects, and who they're talking to, if it's a chair or a person. It's all in that one word. And also in those classes, I learned that my shirts, which were like this for hot weather, and I had knee-length skirts. Well, they were not long enough, my skirts, and I needed shirts like with sleeves because the Rwandan women dressed modestly, all except cleavage, which is something that I just couldn't even play with. One day, there we were, it was morning, Saturday morning, and we were told, we spent that whole morning talking about bicycle helmets. Because that day we were going to be given bicycles. And so that morning we were told about what would happen if we were ever spied any time during our Peace Corps service, 2 years, without our bicycle helmet on. And if that ever happened and it was reported back to someone in charge, we'd be sent home within 24 hours if we didn't wear our bicycle helmets, because the Peace Corps takes the health and care of its volunteers very seriously. So that afternoon, Nelson and I decided that we were going to eat lunch really fast, and then we were going to go get the bicycles that were stored down at Mupemba's house so that we could have the rest of the afternoon free. So Nelson and I did. We were in the center. We ate that lunch really fast, and we jumped up and started to walk on the road into Nyanza. We walked down that dirt road with the trees over our heads, the people passing, the ladies in their beautiful cloths, and the children. And then we walked past the downtown, all the little shops, the stationery, the bakery. We walked past the moto taxis, the bicycle taxis, and then we walked down Mupemba's street. Turn left. Mupemba was the man in the Peace Corps who took care of all the technical kind of stuff, hiring teachers, arranging food, arranging lessons, arranging housing, all of that. So he had the bicycles. And when we got to his house down at the end of the street, it was like any Rwandan house. It had a great big wall all around it with crushed glass on the top. And I went right to the gate and opened it up, and I looked inside, and much to my surprise, we were not the first to get there. We had to have been the last, because milling around were all those 63 Peace Corps volunteers, average age of 23, like bees in a beehive. Well, I squeezed in, Nelson squeezed in, and we started looking for our bicycles. I looked and I looked. They were everywhere in Mupemba's property, and our names were like that big on them. Finally, way down at the end of a dark hall next to the bathroom, I found my bicycle, Sally Crandall. I wheeled it out, and I stood in a long line so that I could use one of the two plastic air pumps to pump up those tires. I stood in another long line so I could attach the brakes and the pedals, and then I was ready to go. And I looked around for Nelson. He'd found his bicycle, but he knows a lot about bicycles, and he was helping one of those last of those 63 volunteers to get out of there, put their bicycle together. So I just looked at him, and I told him, I'm going. And I waved, and I went to the gate, and I opened the gate. All day, the volunteers, they'd been squirting out of that gate all afternoon, and they attracted quite a crowd at first, but now the shadows were long, and people were going home for supper, and there was nobody there. I was so glad, because there I stood. I felt I looked exactly like Wonder Woman's grandma. I had an arrow aerodynamic bicycle helmet. I had a red bicycle, my red and white bicycle helmet, and I was wearing pants. I got up on that bicycle, and I took a pedal, and then another pedal. And all of a sudden, you know, it felt so good. I have a bicycle in Columbus. I ride it all the time, and it felt like home. I felt a little bit like I was flying. And down the road I start, when all of a sudden, off to one side, I hear an older man. He called out a word. He called out, "Courage," he called out. He's smiling. And then another child picked it up, "Courage." And a woman picked it up, "Courage." And now I'm at the bicycle taxis and the moto taxis. They said it too. I'm doing this because Rwanda was once a territory of Belgium, and French is a very important part of their language. They were yelling out to me, "Courage." Courage, they were calling. And it wasn't the kind of courage where you're muscling yourself through something real different. It was different than that. It was gentler than that. They were yelling out, "Good job. We see you. Oh, don't fall. We're on your side." Right then, right there, adventure and romance were the farthest thing from my mind. Right then, right there, I felt welcomed.